Our sermon is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. The Gospel of our Lord. There was nothing special about his family, his job, or his social standing that either Luke or the Holy Spirit felt was worth mentioning. He was just a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who loved and served his God. This righteous, devout man saw the spiritual decay, the grief, the shame of his homeland, and he would wonder to himself, "When, Lord? When will the words of Isaiah, 'Comfort, comfort, O my people,' says your God, come true for us?" Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he knew it would happen. The Holy Spirit had revealed it to him that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. But the question was, when? When would that day come? Anna, on the other hand, was a very special woman, a prophetess. How often had God's very own words come out of her mouth? But now she was old and alone, and her story was a sad one. Anna had been married once for 7 years, but then God took her husband from her. And now she had spent the better part of a century with a hole in her heart, doing the best she could without a husband in a place where the only way to make a good, honest living was to be a man. But that wasn't her biggest concern. Her heart felt an ache that could not be satisfied by man nor food. So there Anna was, old and bent, worshiping every day and every evening in the temple, fasting, praying, longing in the presence of God for the redemption of his people. Have you been waiting like Anna and Simeon? Have you been waiting for God to give his answer for your heartache? Simeon and Anna were waiting for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, the Messiah. And this was about more than just waiting for God to kick out the Roman government, which had some policies they didn't like. Israel's problems, Simeon's and Anna's problems, went deeper. They were more painful. They were spiritual and could only be solved by a Savior from sin. The familiar topics of politics, coronavirus, social distancing, and all that, I'm sure have caused you no small amount of stress. But if you're anything like me, I'm guessing that current events don't even begin to cover what actually worries you. Our worst problems, like Simeon's and Anna's, are spiritual. They're far more serious than what you hear about in the news. They have to do with the spiritual lives of our children and what their relationships with God would be like today if we had only done something differently. They have to do with the senseless, evil decisions we've made, which hurt our relationships and destroy our own selves. Decisions we've made simply because we don't even take the time to think about what we're doing. Our problems bear the color of dark, black despair, or maybe more of a dreary gray depression that makes it impossible to smile, no matter what we do. Our problems have to do with the anxiety of always needing to cover up all the embarrassing things about us with this acceptable, likable, but false self-image that other people might consider being friends with. And where do all these troubles come from? Think about that honestly for a minute. Aren't our very own thoughts and actions at least part of what caused most of our troubles in the first place? Or maybe not. Maybe some of us can honestly say that we didn't cause them. They just came into our lives because, well, God put them there. But even then, we can admit that it's usually our sinful thoughts and actions that help make the situation worse. And so, in some way or another, we all find ourselves today in a mess, at least partially of our own making. If we didn't start it, we've at least contributed to making it worse. And like Simeon and Anna, we find ourselves waiting. We've come here to the blessed house of the Lord, hungry, maybe even desperate for redemption. That's why I think we'll appreciate what comes next in the gospel. Moved by a weird, mysterious urging within that could only come from the Holy Spirit, Simeon finds his way into the temple courts. Could it be, he thinks, could today be the day when my wait is over? Where is he? What would the Lord's Messiah even look like? His gaze fastens on a young couple with their baby son, no more than 40 days old. They're obviously bringing him in to consecrate him to the Lord, because that's just what every parent does with their firstborn son, in obedience to Exodus chapter 13. But Simeon reaches a conclusion that is only possible by the Holy Spirit's testimony. This young family is not normal. In fact, yes, that has to be him, that little guy. I don't know how I know this, but he is the Lord's Messiah. My wait is over. His feet spring into motion, heart pounding, beside himself with joy. And in one electrifying moment, he reaches out his arms with a big, broad grin and holds him in his hands. The Lord's Messiah, God's solution for our sin, for our shame, weighs about 9 to 10 pounds and rests his head in the crook of his elbow. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, Simeon's voice rings out. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. His eyes gaze down in wonder at the greatest mystery man ever beheld. Consolation for an oppressed people, salvation for sinners, light for the darkness, and glory for God's people. He kicked his little legs and strained his neck trying to see where mom was. This is the climax of Simeon's entire life. He could die tomorrow and that would be just fine. All his fears, his heartaches, all his greatest desires now fell mute, drowned out by one powerful swell of joy. His wait for the Messiah was over. He now held salvation in his arms. And no doubt Simeon was causing quite a ruckus about it. In the middle of her fervent prayer, Simeon's ecstatic impromptu psalm pricks Anna's ears. Her wrinkled brow and clenched jaw loosen up, and Anna drops her hands and meanders curiously over towards the source of the commotion. Some guy named Simeon is positively raving about this baby boy whose startled and amazed parents had just come to consecrate him to the Lord. Her eyes can't believe it. But a soothing message trickles through her ears. A message of peace, salvation for all people, a light to reveal her God to the Gentiles, and glory to replace the shame and misery of her people. And this cute little boy is the one to make it happen, in defying all logic, in a miracle only the Holy Spirit could perform. She knows that Simeon's words are true. The Holy Spirit has replaced all her loneliness and all her longing with happiness of all things, with an immovable certainty that God's salvation is here in that little baby named Jesus. Slowly she turns herself and flags down a bystander. Do you know what's happening here? Do you know who that little baby is that Simeon's holding? He's the Messiah, the one who was to come and redeem us, the one you've been looking forward to your entire life. We, who have been waiting, just like Simeon and Anna, may be separated by a few years from that moment in the temple. But through the Holy Gospel, the Holy Spirit has bound us up in one glorious congregation with Simeon, with Anna, Joseph, and Mary. One congregation that adores the Lord's Messiah and finds in him salvation from our sins. Join Simeon. Reach out for the baby Jesus in faith. Hold the Lord's Messiah in your arms. Every time we hear in faith the solid and sure words of Holy Scripture about the Lord's Messiah, about our salvation, that is exactly what we're doing. We may as well be resting Jesus' infant head in the crook of our elbow. Find rest from all your troubles in this baby. He is God made flesh for us. He was born of a virgin to free us from the guilt of our sins, to bring us peace with God. All the troubles and grief that we still experience are nothing more than discipline that comes from the loving heart of God our Father that keeps us close to Him. And He wants you to know that these momentary troubles will not last forever. God will someday deliver us from them too. We see in the baby Jesus proof of that God will deliver us from every trouble. He didn't come all this way and become a baby for nothing. He did it to win the most glorious, never-ending blessings for us. So hold this precious gift from God in your arms. Look upon the face of God in little human flesh and adore Him. Sing a song of peace and salvation, a song of light for the world and heavenly glory for all who trust in Him. And as you hold the Lord's Messiah and ponder the salvation He brings, learn a lesson from Simeon and Anna. Simeon was not an especially important guy. He wasn't a priest, nor any kind of leader. He was just some man in Jerusalem who loved his Lord. Yet Simeon's words about the Savior have been repeated and sung for thousands of years, even translated from ancient Greek into modern English. His words still retain a captivating, simple beauty. You do not have to be an important person to praise God publicly. If you've been waiting for deliverance and have found it here in Jesus, you are exactly the right kind of person to tell others about Jesus. Take Anna. She was very, very old. Her healthy limbs and youthful energy were long gone. But the second she finds out who that baby boy is, Anna instantly becomes one of the busiest missionaries you've ever seen. She's no expert. She just found out herself. But she tells everyone about him. Think about who these two were. Long before the 12 apostles, long before John the Baptist, it was average Joe Simeon and elderly Anna whom God chose to announce the Savior of all. Why can't that be us? The Lord's Messiah is here. He came to earth as a baby to free us from our sins, and he still comes to deliver us in God's word and in the sacraments. If you have been waiting for God, burdened by some guilt or hardship, wait no longer. God has come in the flesh as a tiny human baby to redeem us. Hold him in your arms. Amen.